Gonna be warm. No snow. No snow, at least not in the forecast. Unless little kids are praying. Those little kids, they have power. All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, she was 6 months pregnant. That means you actually knew it. You could see it. But Mary didn't know it, because in those days it took several days to walk from Nazareth all the way down to Judea, Bethlehem, in the hill country. So it was a long trip. And so she didn't know, but the angel came and told her these words. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Today we just use, you know, our iPhone or something. So it'd be a simple deal. She could take a bus or get some kind of transportation, and it'd be no time at all. It's only a few days to walk, but you could get there in a few hours if you drove as fast as I do. All right. And so this city, Nazareth, is named after a branch. Nazareth in Hebrew means branch. So Jesus is the branch. He's the tree. Remember, Jesse's stump was cut off. The kings were no more. But a little branch grew out of that stump. Now it's Jesus. He's the branch, so he's born in the branch. Born in Bethlehem, but he's going to be raised up in Nazareth, where his parents are from. And so here's how the story begins. So in Elizabeth's 6 month, the angel tells her that your cousin, your relative, your kinfolk, down in Judah, down in Yehuda, the praise city, down near Jerusalem, she's pregnant. She's with child. And so you should go and help her. So by the sixth month, she shouldn't be traveling anymore, at least by the seventh month, absolutely not. The reason I know that is because our first child was born and here in Texas, but we were up in, where were we, in Connecticut or something? We were in Connecticut.
Buffalo,
yeah, Buffalo. And we had to drive in the seventh month, so that was, you're not supposed to, but it's okay, she did. It's just like Mary's going to have to go and pay her taxes, and she'll have to leave at the wrong time as well. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, the Hebrew word is not virgin, but it's Alma. Alma means she is married, but she's only betrothed, meaning she already is Joseph's wife, but if anything be found unclean in her, like adultery, then he has to put her away. In fact, he should publicly stone her, have her stoned. But you remember how this story works out, because it's God. How many know God can work a way around anything? But God can do it lawfully. He can do it in the right way. Nevertheless, God knows how to do the impossible among people that, for example, you're under the law by nature, you're under a law, but by revelation, culture, history, he revealed that wasn't his first law. He had an older law. The older law trumps. The older, higher, prior, greater law was a promise to Abraham. So that one will take precedent. And then the later law cannot disannul, cannot cancel what the earlier law said, if the earlier law came from his heart, whereas the later law, that is the covenant with Abraham, is a promise. And a promise has a law because God's under the law of being obligated to keep his promise. So he has a law too. We call it now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set us free from the law of sin and death. But anyway, in those days before Jesus did come, that older promise to Abraham takes precedence. It's preeminent. It's like the Constitution over a statute. It stands higher and prior, superior. And no statute that can then overthrow a constitutional provision or anything in the Constitution. So the Constitution was made by the people, not by legislatures. And so they bound their legislatures to stick to the Constitution. In other words, they're subject. So the legislature is not sovereign, it's actually slave of the Constitution. The people's Constitution then stands above the legislative enactments. So therefore, law today has to remember that always, has to recall that higher law always triumphs, is preeminent over lower law. And so it's even more complex than I'm saying, but nevertheless, that holds true. So this older law is about to come to pass because God remembers his older covenant to Abraham, where he made a promise to bless mankind, including sinners. Including sinners. Well, as a matter of fact, only for sinners. And where did he find Abraham? He found him in Ur, worshiping the moon god, a Baalistic god named Sin. And that's where he found him. Hi, Abe. How's it going? Oh, pretty good. I just was worshiping the moon god. Well, I thought I would make you an offer. I got a better deal than the moon god. That moon god isn't working out too well, is it? Well, no. It doesn't actually work out as well as you think, but you got to do it. Otherwise, you know, get in big trouble. The truth is that all laws are not good, and all religions are not the same. And so Christianity is not a natural religion. It's not a civil religion. It's not a political religion. It's not a man-made religion. We claim, that is, we believe, we teach, and we confess that our religion was handed down by God in time, not man-made time, but in time that God has allotted, that God actually revealed it after creation. After he created men, then he revealed this law. Now, it's written on your heart naturally, but everybody misreads the natural law as though it were against you when it's actually for you. So if you interpret the law correctly, the natural law, the best it can do is make you guilty. The best it can do. It can teach you morals. It can teach you how to behave yourself in society. But that's not the same as before God. Remember, it's written by the finger of God. God writes on it, "You're mine," when you're conceived. Not when you're born, when you're conceived. The minute you're conceived, on everybody's heart, he writes down there, "Behave yourself, don't do bad." He writes that, "And you belong to me, give me a full account." Now, I could go into the natural law, but the point is that's God's claim on everybody, and all it does is make everybody guilty. In other words, the law tells you what to do, but it doesn't help you to do it. It just tells you what to do. This is what God wants. Be like him. That doesn't help. Because inside of me, there's another law in my members called your flesh. God did not create you to follow your flesh. He created you to submit to him. So his law is written on, submit to me. But most people, I would say 100%, most people follow not God, but they follow their own gods. They follow their own, and you don't have to have a god like Baal. You can just make up yourself as God. In other words, you can just go your own way. You can just be stubborn and do your own thing. Follow your own mind, lean not to your own understanding. You can follow your own will, not my will, but thine be done. You can follow your own emotions, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, or I can complain every once in a while. You know, so you can follow your own law and not kill it. Well, then you've disobeyed. And so, God made it so everybody would be guilty. Every tongue. Everybody. And the reason he did that was because he knew that the way he made us originally, he could tell you what to do, but you couldn't do it without him. Why? He's always wanted the relationship with you. But the only way you could come to is humbly. You couldn't come to him and say, I did everything you said. Nobody could say that. How many know that there's meanness in this world? It doesn't come from God. It comes from people. And you're one of the people it comes from. How many know that you are a sinner? Yes. You are a sinner. But you're not if you're a Christian. Why? Because there's a higher law, greater than the natural law. The natural law will pass away with nature. There's a greater law that was in God's heart. That one, and it's the only one that touches the heart, that one is the one we're talking about today, Jesus. That Jesus was sent into the world in historic time. Not, you didn't see him, he hid himself. It was a mystery hidden. So all during historic time, until Abraham, nobody exactly knew exactly what. We just knew, behave yourself, how? You know, and then what if you do if you don't? You know, then what? You know, what's the law say then? You know, if you eat of it, you die kind of thing and so on. So it wasn't, that was a guilt-ridden thing. And most people tried to avoid that by sowing a few fig leaves on them. And so you just make up all these religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, all the ones that are still around today. They're all lies because they all tell you to behave yourself and you'll be all right. Well, that's a lie. How many know outward behavior is not what God's looking for? He's not wanting you to behave outwardly so he can then, you know, love you if you behave. He's wanting to love you from the heart just because he made you. Yeah. He doesn't desire the death of any sinner. So he doesn't believe in all those other religions, which are lies. Because the other religion says if you behave, you'll get a reward. Ours is the only religion that says if you misbehave, God will give you a free gift. I like that one better. That's Christmas, when you get a free gift. I didn't like the one that says, oh, you better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. I didn't like that one because I have to behave in order to get the gift. And Peggy's father, when she was growing up, he got a chunk of coal in his stocking because his mother said he misbehaved. And that devastated Peggy. She looked at that coal in that stocking and thought, that's not right. That's my daddy. That's not right. So he got coal. The mother was a little bit ticked at him that year. And so, yeah, not his mother, but Peggy's mother. Which was, she was a Dickens. She loved doing that kind of thing. She was a Dickens. Anyway, I mean, know that some people are funny. And so she just thought that would be cute. Peggy never got over it, though. She just thought that was not cute. That's daddy. What did he do wrong? But God has never been Santa Claus. God has never been like him at all, that you have to behave in order to merit his favor. He's always been, I give you the gift for free, even if you misbehave. You're my child. If you misbehave, I'm not even going to blame you. I'll take the responsibility. I will see to it that you do behave, but I'll do it for you, then I'll do it in you, then I'll do it through you. I'll take all the responsibility. How many know that's a real man? Amen. That's a real man that says, I want my wife and my family and my children to be blessed, even if they don't deserve it, even if they do wrong things, even if they undermine me, I'll still bless them. Amen. How many know that's a real man? Amen. That's the way Jesus taught us. So that's why our religion is the true religion, because it doesn't depend upon man to behave. It depends on God to behave. I like that. God has to behave. God has to behave. He has to make a promise and keep it. How many know a good shepherd keeps his sheep? A good shepherd would lay his life down for his sheep. That's why Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. King David called himself, the Lord is my shepherd. That meant he was a sheep. But David was the keeper of Jesse's sheep, his father. And then he became the keeper of God's sheep on earth. The people of Israel, and he became king. So he went from being a sheep to being a shepherd over his father's sheep. You know, that was your entire economic wealth in a home, was how many sheep you had, or goats, or fields, or whatever else. And so David was keeping those sheep. And so he knows all about shepherding, and that's why he made a good king. You can't be a king unless you're first a shepherd.
Yeah.
Let's say it again. You can't be a king unless you're first a shepherd. Joy to the world, you know. All of that is all about being a shepherd, caring for the sheep, laying your life down, killing bears and lions which attack the sheep. You know, a king, a representative of the people, ought to be someone that lays their lives down for us, not robs us, steals from us, takes from us, enriches themselves at our expense. So a little bit of mix up there. And that's why God sent Jesus into the world exactly when it was tax time. Exactly. Because they had enrolled everybody, first time in the history of the world, enrolled everybody in the world under the emperor, Caesar Augustus. And that I'm not going to preach on that today, but that's coming in Luke 2. But that'll be later. Now, God then deliberately did that because that's called darkness to God. Darkness is civil and religious tyranny. Darkness is when your natural, God-given, unalienable rights are removed from you that God wrote on your heart when you were born in the image and likeness of God. So everybody has, when he wrote that law down, he made you look like him. You are not a turtle. Turtles don't look like God. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Turtles do not look like God, nor do trees or rocks or clouds. What looks like God? Us. Us. We look like God. So we were made in the image, and then it says, according to the likeness. Betzelemnu. In the image. And then it says, and according to the likeness. Demutnu. So you are created in the image so that you can be like God and talk to him. Animals don't talk to God. So they just don't. They don't worship God like we do because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We're supposed to be like him, but that's a promise. It isn't a command that you have to be like him. It's a promise that you will be because God made a promise. You may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. What? Freely. You may. That's not shall. You have to eat of all the trees. There's no shall. There's no command. If there's a command, you could sin. If there's no command, you can't sin. Do you see this? This is why you're innocent today. You're innocent because there's no law over you. There's a law for Jesus. He kept it because he's a shepherd. He laid his life down for the sheep. When the bear came, he laid his life down and slew the bear and slew the lion and slew the dragon and slew everybody. Jesus Christ has taken care of all our enemies. Amen? So the good news is you're not under a law. If there's no law, there's no sin. If there's no sin, there's no guilt. If there's no guilt, there's no need for a Savior. If there's no Savior, you couldn't be born again. But it could come by promise. Ah, so skip the law. It just goes straight to the promise. Now, the bad news precedes the good news so that when you come to God humbly, you go, God, I have sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. And therefore created me a new heart. And that was the promise. And David knew about that. So David said, you know, God, if you expect me to keep this thing up, it's too hard. I've done some outward things, but I think I need a new heart. I think I'm going to keep sinning. O Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, who could stand? How many know there are no iniquities that will ever be lodged against you? Even though you have bad thoughts, bad deeds, bad feelings, bad everything. So what? It doesn't count. Non-applicable. N/A. Doesn't apply to me. It applied to Jesus. He took the law, died, No more death. He fulfilled the law. How many know the fulfilling of the law is love? Love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, he loved us. So because God loved us, we're in good shape. I don't know. To me, this is so good. I just can't imagine everybody not shouting, jumping. That is so Christmas. That is so Christmas. That is so neat. That little kids, and I love to watch the face of little kids when they open a present. You know, the little ones especially. You know, the older ones are a little smarter. But the little ones, they're not. They think the wrapping is the present, first of all. Wow. They're excited just about the wrapping. But second of all, there's something inside there, and sometimes you have to help them even to open it. You know, tear it. They can't even tear it off because they thought this was it. It's very nice. It's for me. But then they open it up, and their eyes go like this. And that is worth everything right there. To a parent, to a grandparent, to, you know, a relative, to a friend, you know, that is awesome. When you see them do that, you just know that's what life is all about. And why should that life be reserved till heaven? Why shouldn't it start now? Amen. That's why Jesus came at Christmas. He came so that we could be forgiven forever and there would never again be a law over us. Thank God. That means you can sin all you want.
Praise God.
Some of you have taken that literally. Yes, of course you can, because if you have a flesh. But here's how you kill your flesh. Here's how to do it. It's not that hard. You just simply don't look at it. Don't feed it. Don't take care of it. Just look at the goodness of God. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. The way you kill the flesh is worship God, or have faith in God, or believe his promise, or follow the truth. Now, you don't have to obey. You have to believe. You don't have to obey. You have to believe. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Could it be any better? I know I say this every week. But
love hearing it.
Yeah, thank you. Because it's good news. I mean, most of the world is still miserable. Even Christians are miserable. I know some Christians that are depressed. Uh-oh, I see one here. No, I don't allow it. You cannot be depressed. You have to be happy.
Amen.
It's a law.
Amen.
No, it's a promise. It's a promise. When you just standing on the promises, the Baptists have that song. Standing on, you know, they love that song, and it's a good song. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Why? Because it's all promise. And if you stand on the promise, even though you're a used car, you know, salesman the rest of the week and cheat people and so on and so forth and sell them something that's not true, and it's okay. He still doesn't send you to hell because of it. The only thing he's interested in is, do you believe that I am good? Not do I believe you are, but do you believe I am and that I can cover all that? Not only that, I'll take responsibility for any sin that you have left on you, in you, through you. I'll take care of it. I mean, you know, that'd be a good thing. If you could feed people that every day, every week, that would be good. They'd be better. They'd be happier. Joy to the world. You know why? Because the Lord has come. Why? Because he didn't come to spank us. He didn't come to make a list and check it twice. That was already over. He came to bless us, to benefit us, so that you're always safe and you're always happy in this world. And in eternity, too. Why not start now? That's why he came 2,000 years ago, so that you could be happy now. So there's greater weight on us who have heard the gospel so clearly than on the Old Testament saints. But I'll tell you, if you read the Old Testament, some of those saints had it down pretty good. You know, some of those Old Testament saints are in the New Testament. They're in the Hall of Fame. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, the whole list of, and that's just a representative list, it's not everybody at all. But there's a whole bunch of people, including Moses, the law man, he's in the gospel. He's in the gospel. Why? Because Moses didn't get into the promised land by the law. Remember, he died outside because he had sinned. So you can't get in through sin. You have to get in through perfection. Well, that doesn't come by the law. How many know perfection? Nothing's made perfect under the law. Under a law, I'm going to force you to do what's right. Nothing's made. You can't force people to do what's good. I'm going to say something again because I want you to understand this. Law forces people. It compels. You know, if there's a law, then you have to do it. If not, there's a punishment. So it's going to compel you. It's going to threaten you. And then if you don't take the threat, it will actually convict you and judge you and then punish you. That's its job. So it's kind of forcing us backward to behave. But you know what? It's not touching your heart. So even if you behaved outwardly and kept all the laws perfectly, it isn't the heart. And God's only after a relationship. He's only after a heart. He doesn't want you just to keep the law outwardly. He wants you to keep it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And that's not how we're keeping our law. No matter how much people think they are, behaving themselves and so on. People that are moral, people that are nice, people that are social, you know, not me, but other people, I'm not. They go to hell. Why? Because they didn't develop a relationship with God from the heart and all the soul and all the strength. You have to do the whole thing because God wants a relationship where you're totally in love with God and you don't care about this world. So, but people that help you out and that are nice and are moral, they actually secretly expect a little reward for it. Totally. Every single person that does it, they're thinking, I'll get to go to heaven. Or they're thinking, they'll thank me. Or they'll appreciate me. How many mothers have been disappointed that their children, which ought to appreciate them, actually want to be their own person? And they don't think of you all the time. You can try to bribe them, but the truth is, they don't really care. And they're glad sometimes when you're dying that they're going to get all your stuff and, you know, pull the plug on grandma, you know, and so on. So not everybody's that excited about dying, especially, and as a pastor, I see this. You sometimes see the kids are all scrambling with one another to see who's going to get what. And our kids have named everything in the house already, so. No, that's not true. But they have said what their favorite things are. Don't give that to David. Give that to me. Don't give that to Cara. I want that bowl. Can I have this ashtray? Well, we don't have ashtrays. But anyway. Because we don't want people fighting over ashtrays. God has this good news. God has never had a mean bone in his body. There's no meanness to God. None. No matter all appearances to the contrary, notwithstanding, God only has joy for you, happiness for you, safety, security. He has never had one shadow of turning. He's a light. He's always pure light. Pure love, pure truth. I am for you. I'm not against you. If God be for you, who? The devil? Fool you on him. Other people? Nope. Your own flesh? Nope. Well, what? Nothing. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. And God is for us. Yahoo! That's powerful. So here's Elizabeth. She's in her 6th month. Mary goes to her house. And the angel, verse 28, Luke 1:28, and the angel came in unto her. And he said, this is Gabriel, hail! And that's scary right there. Whoa, this big angel, let's say he's 18 feet tall or something. Whoa, you know, it's like kind of scary. Hail! And then his next words, help, thou art highly favored. Wow. Have you heard those words from God?
Amen.
They're written down in the Bible. You don't really need a scary angel to come and tell you that. It'd be better just to have, read it. Hail, thou art, and this is great coming to one of Eve's daughters. Remember Eve, the one that got us into all the trouble? That Eve. But here, God's indicating something. I've never been mad at Eve. I've never mad at anybody. I didn't even do what they thought I was going to do. They thought I was going to kill them the day they ate the tree. Remember that? The day you eat of it, I will kill you. Only it doesn't say that. It says the day you eat it, you will die. It's talking about Jesus. I'm going to say it again because you didn't quite catch that. That was powerful. The day you eat of it, you will die. He was talking about Jesus, who is your true life. Your life is hid with God in Christ. So Jesus is your righteousness. You didn't eat of the tree. You never did, because Jesus didn't. And that's your life. Your life is Jesus. Did you hear what I'm saying? I don't know. You can be kind of excited about that. That's neat. Is that it's not talking about you. You are never condemned. It only appeareth. But don't ever judge with appearance. Judge with right judgment, the truth. This is the true understanding of the whole gospel, which is in the beginning. I mean, I can read every page in this book. It's all, I love you, Jim. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. It's a love letter. I love you, 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 I love you. It's like little kids writing all those X's and O's at the bottom of their Christmas card. You know, little kids do that. You know, oh, I just love you so much, Grandpa. I love those. I keep those cards. They got little X's on them, and when they can't even write, they just scribble something on there. But they know, because little kids don't know anything. They don't know what a scoundrel I am, and so therefore they love me. Those little kids love me. And we send them photographs so that the parents keep pointing it out. That's Grandpa Jim right there. That's Grandma Peg. And little Daniel, he's just two. I love you, Grandpa Jim. Only he doesn't say Jim, he says Jimmy. Love you, Grandpa Jimmy. That's good. He's trained well. But of course he's ignorant. He's completely ignorant. He has no knowledge of anything. But the mother points out the picture. This is Grandpa Jim here. And I tell her, do it every day so that he thinks about me a lot. And little kids don't know any better, so they just, oh, Grandpa Jimmy, come on, talk to Grandpa Jimmy. And so, but after they're four, they forget you. But at least you got those first couple of years right there. And they learn your name. God loves it that our love is like the morning dew, quickly fades away. God loves that. Did you know that God's not mad at you for that? How many know that God loves sinners? Do you? Do you? Do you love sinners? People that actually abuse you, misuse you. People that violate you. People that are against you. God loves sinner. He loves them. How many know that God has a little different view than we do? His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. Now, he's teaching you that, not so you'll do it. He's teaching you to do the same, not so you'll do it, but just so you'll be happy. Why? Because it's better if you love people, even when they're scoundrels and don't deserve it. It's better for you.
That's right.
Rather than get even with them. Amen. How many know getting even with people is a difficult chore? And it destroyeth the one getting evil more than it does the one that you're trying to destroy. So God just wants you to be happy. He just wants heaven not to start later, like to start today. Amen. How many are at peace with everybody? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Amen. I love that idea. Peace on earth. You see, why doesn't God say peace just to the church? For God so loved the church. It doesn't say that. It says he loves the world.
Amen.
And the only reason that he has a church is so we can be the light and the salt of this world, so that we can show other people how great God is. And our face should be full of smile. Amen. Rather than frown. Yeah, I'm a Christian. it's something that people can't tell. Oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. If you didn't have that cross on you, I wouldn't have known. Thank God you had that bumper sticker. I had no idea. I've been working with you for 20 years. I never knew that. Grumpy, grouchy person. I always thought. But I see you're a Christian. How many know that Christians haven't been a good advertisement for God?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. He's not mad at you. It's the pastor's fault.
Yeah. Amen.
It is. So don't expect Methodists and Presbyterians and stuff to get it. This is just for y'all. This is just for you. Be happy. Be happy. Can you be happy all the time?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes.
Yeah. You.
Yeah,
all the time. I love it. Can you be happy all the time? More or less. More or less. Yeah. Can you be happy all the time?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Can you be happy all the time? Woohoo! We've only got one that's kind of... Do you want a new car? I get it. I get it. Okay. She wants a Christmas present. How many know that God is a giver of every good and perfect gift?
Yes.
God is the giver. The giver. There is no other.
That's right.
He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So when we as parents give gifts to our children, they're not really ours. We're just stewards of God's goodness, of His love, of His mercy, of His power, of His grace, of His glory. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Why? Because all the other kings are not kings at all. No king has ever been a good king, not even King David. That's why he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, done that which is evil in thy sight. You know, he just killed his best friend and so on. So David, even David messed up. Moses messed up. The giver of the law, he hit the rock twice. That's double jeopardy. You can't kill Jesus two times. Why? Once for all. So the lawgiver used the law against the gospel. That was wrong. That was a sin. The law, which is given after the gospel, cannot disannul the gospel that was given 430 years prior to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob, then to Joseph, and so on. So you can never disannul God's original law. His original law is the law of the Spirit, of life. Life, life, l'chaim. How many know that that's what God wants?
Amen.
So the Jewish people feel you get it if you behave, but you don't. You get it if you misbehave. Now, how many here are qualified?
Amen.
Yeah, you have to misbehave. Even if it's outward or inward, it doesn't matter. You have to be a misbehaver. So I pray that some of you would acknowledge your wickedness more often. Because you can only be happy if you're wicked from time to time that you notice it. But you actually, it's more persistent than that. It's in there. It's just you need someone to irk you or, you know, be obnoxious around you to bring it out. But thank God there's always a few people in everybody's life that can do it on a regular basis. Usually family members. Thank God. You know, another thing that irks you is happy people. That is always irkful. It's like, you have to smile all the time. Jesus loves me. You know, it's really bothersome to this world because Christians are so, I don't know, dippy. It's just silly. You get in an elevator. Praise the Lord. You know, don't. Don't do that. That actually turns people off because they're unhappy. But if you say something like this, geez, I've had a hard day. Yeah, me too. You know, they love that. Boy, misery loves company. You know, they just love it. Yeah, you think that's bad. Wait, be quiet a minute. Let me tell you mine. And so people will compete to tell how miserable their husband is, how miserable life is, the boss is, something. I mean, people are just born complainers. That's the group God loves. He loves complainers and gripers and killers of His Son and breakers of His law. Why? Well, that's all He's got. Why? That's all He's got. I mean, he could wipe away the whole human race, but He should have done that on day one. But He decided to keep Him around. Because His original idea, and He knew, how many know He knows everything? His original idea is, I'll do it all. I'll give them a law which they'll break. Then I'll give them a gospel which they won't believe, and then I'll do it anyway. I love that. Without force. Now that Buddha can't do. The Muslims can't do that. Allah can't do that. There's no other religion that is as ridiculous as ours. Ours is so ridiculous, it's wonderful.
Amen.
It's like, wow, this is the craziest religion I've ever heard, that God loves sinners. So, Mary. She's the one chosen of God. She's the one. She will bring the light into the world.
Amen.
She will bring the light into the world. Eve brought the first sin. And so she got blamed for that. but not by God. God didn't blame Eve. You know that God never even blamed Eve at all. He went right to Adam. And said, Adam, what were you doing? How come she was here on the tree alone? Were you not watching over her? You know, he basically said, you know, Adam, your sin is this. You listen to your wife. I don't mind that you heard what she said. You listened, meaning you gave heed to. When she offered you the apple, you just said, no, I'm going to pray to God that, you know, you'll be forgiven and I'll die for you. But he didn't do that. So he just blamed her. How many know? He blamed Eve. But God didn't blame Adam or Eve. He just blamed the snake. Don't you love that? He just went right to the snake, didn't even talk to him. I'm on your belly, you'll go. He used to walk upright. You know, he's like a little Tyrannosaurus Rex or something. But now he had to crawl down on his belly and wiggle back and forth. You never know where he is. How many know that's like our government?
Yeah.
You know, back and forth. You never know where the law is, who's going to interpret it this way or that way. Everything is sand today instead of solid rock, immutable, like the founders intended. And guess what? The fault lies with you. You'll get a good government when you're good. What is good? It's not being good, but letting God be good. That's all. Good is believing that God is good.
Amen.
And so you don't get rid of political problems by political solutions. It's always a spiritual solution. You don't get rid of economic problems with economic solutions. It's always. It has nothing to do with logic or, you know, who's at fault or whatever else. That's all nonsense. All that welfare stuff that we've done for the last, you know, 150 years or whatever it's been. It's all nonsense. Ever since the Civil War, we've been doing this thing of trying to, you know, correct our original Declaration of Independence, inalienable stuff, and then trying to, you know, compensate. Let's get rid of this and do that and so on. Well, what we lost, and we've never regained it, is unity. We've never been unified. The founding generation was because they had to fight an enemy. But as soon as the enemy disappeared, now we fight each other. It's been that way ever since. But they set up a government that was to be lasting only if you could keep it, as Franklin said to the woman who asked him on July 2 when they came out and said, what kind of government do we have? And he said, republic if you can keep it, if you can keep it, not if we can keep it. We wrote one, but it's not perfect. It's not perfect. It depends upon you, the people. And that depends, he wouldn't have said this, but that depends, he wouldn't have disagreed with it, upon the church. If the true church isn't true, if the light in you isn't light, then there's no hope. So let's start with Sam. Sam, you need to be light and salt. Amen. Amen. You know you're no good.
Absolutely.
Amen. And you know that God is good.
Amen.
And that he will keep his promise.
Yes.
Well, there's the blessing right there. That's as simple as that. Now, the problem is the church doesn't know that. The church doesn't know the good news. Because it isn't living it, because it doesn't even know it, because the pastors aren't living it and they don't know it. It isn't like they know it and just don't want to give it. They don't know it. They haven't supernaturally been born again. They just grew up in the denomination or they grew up in the traditions or whatever. So the church today is lukewarm. We want a hot church. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we're starting with a small group of people that you can just beat the tar out of them. They still are okay. I mean, you have to go through boot camp. You have to go through that rough stage. Everyone wants to postpone that. Could we postpone that for a while? You want to enter the war without boot camp? I don't think so. How many know there would be no wars won if you didn't have those hard discipline boot camps?
Amen.
Where you're broken until you realize you're not God.
Right.
Your commander's over you and the enemy's over here. And you got to learn that right off. First thing you got to learn is you're not going to do what you want. You will polish your shoes. You will do this. And they learn, yes, sir. And they learn how to obey. Hello? Well, we're not that way as Christians. Onward, Christian soldiers. We have to be more disciplined than we are. But not disciplined by the law. Disciplined by the gospel.
Amen.
Get used to happiness. I'm accustomed to being happy.
Amen.
So it's real easy to spot it when there's this unhappy dis-ease. You're not at ease. There's something uncomfortable. Right away, whoa, that's not right. We're Christians. So I don't like to see in anybody's life here not an abundant, full life, happy life. But I can't make that happen. I don't have any power. I have no power to force that or manipulate that or trick that. All I have is the power to just live it and declare it, and then the rest is up to y'all.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And I will point it out if I see it. If I could fight a Christian in here, I'd point it out. I'd point that out. Margaret, you're one. Yeah, exactly. Praise God. Huh. Kurt, you're one. That's powerful. ML, you're one. Yeah. I already said Sam was. Alex, I don't know. Wait on that one. I'm going to wait on that one. Did you know that Alex, in 3 days, is going to Jerusalem?
Amen.
Christmas Day. And I was shocked when he told me that. You know, he thought because you wouldn't be here giving his offering. But that is not why. I was shocked that anyone would go to Israel on Christmas and not want to be here with you know, your family and friends and so on and so forth. And then he told me, no, Pastor, that day is the cheapest day for the airlines. And so you can fly, you know, for $1,000. It normally costs, you know, a lot more than that. And so, I said, I'm going. I said, I'm going. Get me a ticket. I'm going. No. So that's powerful. I didn't know that. Because nobody wants to be there, you see. Now the Jewish people are all taking advantage of that. They're all coming on Christmas Day. Go to Jerusalem. Now, Mary hears these words, and she is completely delighted.
Amen.
She has no doubt, no fear at all, even though the angel is 18 feet tall. And when she saw him, the Lord is with you, you are highly blessed, highly favored among women. And when she saw him, verse 129, Luke, she was troubled at this saying, not troubled like trouble, just like, huh, this is too good to be true. She was troubled at saying, and cast in her mind back and forth, what manner of salutation this should be. Never heard one like this. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. How many here are afraid sometimes? You're afraid of dying. You're afraid of living. You're afraid of, you know, being insane. You're afraid of, you know, all kinds of things. Your health, your wealth, your relationships, and so on. But don't be afraid of anything.
Amen.
Here's the angel. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
I love that. In this world, angel, you're crazy. In this world, it's tough. It's a tough deal down here. No, it isn't. God says, don't be afraid. So I want you to say these words. I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
Let's say it again. I will not be afraid. I am not afraid.
I am not afraid.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Hallelujah!
All right. Anyway, I always like to do what angels say. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God is favoring you. I am favored with God. Let's say it.
I am favored with God.
God favors you. Everything's going your way. Zippity-doo-da. It's not in the Bible, but it's a good. I like it. I like that. It ought to be in the Bible. Zippity-doo-da. Why? Because everything is going your way. Why? Because God for you, no one can be against you. If God be for you, if he is, because he is, no one can be against you. How many know that people try to come against you, but what can they do? Let's say God favors you. If God favors you and doesn't want you dead, will you die? No. If God doesn't want you dead, doesn't want you crippled, doesn't want you sick, doesn't want you poor, doesn't want you anything. I mean, all things are possible with God. With man, it's impossible, but God can do anything. So I like you to rehearse every day.
That's right.
This is called the truth. It beats up honesty day in and day out.
That's right.
Death to your flesh, death to honesty. Don't ever be honest again. Honesty is binding. Well, I just feel like I hate you. That'll bind you. I just feel like everybody hates me. That'll bind you. I just feel like I'm going to get sick because it's, you know, fall or winter or something. How many know today is the first day of winter?
Wow.
And isn't it going to be a wonderful winter?
Amen.
Aren't winters wonderful?
Yes.
Most people like spring. But what's wrong with the winter?
Great.
God made it. He's okay with winter. He likes winter. So you got to learn that every season is good.
Right.
You're alive.
Yes.
You know, even Scrooge was happy. You know, when he found out, you know, what had happened in Christmas past and future. Where are we? And behold, now here's the good news. You shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you'll call his name Yeshua.
Amen.
Why? He shall save. Yeah, is the future. Shall. And then Yeshua is a name that said, it's just Jesus. But it's a name that says God will save his people. He'll redeem his people. He'll set them free from all their bondage, all their sin, all the devil, all problems, all troubles, all difficulties, everything.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be miserable 1 second of 1 minute of one day.
Amen.
Now, let's say you are. It's not a big deal. Just don't regard it. Just go, I don't care. I don't care what's happening. God is for me. Who can be against me? This is a momentarily I'm between money. Momentarily I'm between health. You know, in other words, I had it and then I lost it. Now I'm getting, but you're going to get it all back. Why? Because did you know a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I never take medicine, ever, ever. I don't take aspirins, I don't take anything, Tylenol or whatever all those things are. So when they call me up, because I'm old now, when they call me up and say, you know, you get free prescriptions, it's like, you know, no contest. I'm not interested. You can get this and you can get that. They got a lot of freebies out there, little strings attached, of course. But I don't want any of those freebies. You just want a trip to Hawaii. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want anything. How many know that if God supplies all your needs, let him supply? Okay. Now, the trip could be from God. Sometimes it is. But you want to make sure it is.
Yeah.
And it's not some deal where all you have to do is come for 2 hours and listen to... You know, I tried that many times. It would last a lot longer, and I lost all my money and so on and so forth. I bought a condominium in Alaska or something that I was going to go to. Now, Peggy's saying it's time, so I got to get to the better news. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If anybody has to go, go. Miss the good news if you want. Go. Verse 32. We're staying today. Yeah. Staying for lunch. All right. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Notice you're going to have a baby. And bring forth a son and shall call his name. You shall call his name Yeshua. So this is, first of all, this eliminates, what's that group that aborts babies? Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood. Because it says right here, you're not a person at birth. You're a person at conception.
Amen.
And not only that, without any sonogram or anything else, God, through the angel, told her it's going to be a boy. And second of all, he has a name. It's a person.
Yeah.
Persons get names, not globs. You know, not tissue. Not, well, the first few days or the first few months or whatever. No, sorry, you're wrong. Immediately, you are given a whole personality. And even though your heart and everything else in you hasn't fully developed so that you're ready to come out, you're already a person. And John, later, when she goes to visit this 6 months, same time, that baby will respond at 6 months. But I'm just telling you right now, his name was also given when he was just 1 minute, 1 second. Because God writes it at conception. This is proof. All right. Now, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. In other words, God's Son. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father, small f, his father, David. So Jesus is called Son of David and Son of Abraham. David for the royal side, Abraham for the spiritual side. So there you have it, priest-king, both sides. And I'm not a politician. I can be involved in politics, but I'm not a politician because I'm a pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher. But that's my job, is to give good news to people. I don't think politicians are doing that. A politician is supposed to be under the burden as a shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep, that they're always safe and they're always happy, even he has to pay for it. Well, you know, not everybody wants that job. But the people who have taken the jobs right now don't want that job either. They've changed it so they eat the sheep rather than feed them. Instead of leading them, they actually turn them into the wrong paths, not beside still waters. That's why we're in trouble today as a nation. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love to be in trouble? Yeah, because we're the only ones that have the good news. We're the only ones that have the solution. What is it?
Jesus.
It's not get rid of the president. It's not get rid of the mayor. It's not get rid of, you know, whoever's in our way. It's you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. Your wicked ways. Yours, not theirs. Then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So the judgment's right here. We can do it right here. We can save Dallas. We can save Texas. We can save anything. Did you know the prayer of one?
That's right.
At great power. So what God is saying is, stop telling me about all your problems that I need to deliver you from. I want to deliver you from you.
That's
the biggest problem right there. You got idols inside of yourself, Girgashites, Amalekites, Tivites, you know, Jebusites, and so on. You got all those things inside of you, fear, you know, anger, jealousy, bitterness, etc. Get rid of that, and you'll be a king. You'll be a priest. You will change Texas. You will change the world. That's what made this nation great in the first place, and we could restore it anytime you're ready. All you have to do it, you can just do it in your own prayer closet.
Amen.
You can just do it by reading your own Bible. You can do it just by singing. You can do it by forgiving people around you. You can do it by getting rid of your own sin, which all you have to do that is just look at Jesus. That's who you are. You're not who you look like. You're who God looks like. You are his beloved. You are made in his image, and that's restored through Jesus.
Amen.
Now, he shall be great, Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. That's political. That's a political throne. I'm not political. But I believe that's a gift of God. I believe God loves your temporal life as much as he loves your eternal life. I'm an eternal happiness, safety people. That's my job. My job is to make sure you all go to heaven and are ready when heaven comes, that you're happy. I mean, it'd be good if you have some balloons, ice cream, yahoo.
That's right.
Rather than look miserable. Okay, I guess we have to go to heaven now. It would be better if you were excited about it. Amen?
Yes.
Isn't that true?
Hallelujah.
So God wants you all to go to heaven. I want you, you're already there as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
And he, this one, that this son, shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's the cheater. I like that he doesn't use Israel, the name Israel. I like that he uses his original Jacob name, which is Jim. I like that. He'll reign and rule over. So Jesus rules over me. That makes me bearable. Otherwise, I would be unbearable. How many know what it's like to have somebody that's unbearable? I mean, it just puts fear in people when you're so intense. And I am. I am completely intense. But I'm also completely relaxed. But I want everything good.
Amen.
Does anybody else want that?
Yes.
Amen. I want it good in heaven, and I want heaven to start today on earth.
Amen.
I want everything good. I want everything good. That's why God put ML in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed. And Pam, I haven't even opened up what it is you gave me, but I know it's good. Whatever it is, I know it's going to be good because it's heavy, first of all. So I believe it's not peanuts this time. Unless they're iron peanuts. So I'm blessed. Why? Not because I'm any good. Not because you're any good. It's because God is good. Amen. How many know God wants people on this earth, wicked people, nasty people, horrible people, to be happy?
Amen.
God has never wanted anyone to be sad and miserable. Never. But people are hard to convince. Amen? But I believe it's the pastors. I really believe that the pastors aren't teaching the truth, therefore the people aren't getting the truth. And so they're just leaving the flesh in place. That is a bad deal. It's no good to hear that Jesus died for you and then you didn't take up your cross daily and get rid of your flesh, because that flesh is a burden. That is a heavy burden. You are the problem of you. You and yourself. You are not yourself. I am I, but myself, that's somebody else. I mean, that's another me person, but it's not the same as me. But I can kill that one because that one's never going to go to heaven. I am going to go to heaven, but not myself. Myself is not going to go to heaven. My new self, which is I in Christ, not I in this body. That new self, that one's going to heaven. Amen. Why? It's a believer. And you know, my mind will never accept that. My mind's never going to accept it. I just, you know, tell it what to believe. But it doesn't want to. It throws a fit every time I read the Bible. Jim, do you really believe that stuff? Well, no. That is myself. Do you really feel that happy right now? Well, not really. that was my emotions, you see. So I don't listen to those guys. Be quiet, fellas.
Right.
You know, I'm the Lord here. Jesus is the Lord over me. We're going to do it. He's my shepherd. I'm his sheep. And so we just mow those guys down. I kill them every day. I die daily, Paul says. Every man mature in Christ. Woo-hoo!
Hallelujah.
Don't ever expect your emotions to be happy all the time. Now, some of you have thought, if I become a Christian, I'll be really happy. Or if I become mature, I'll bet I'll be happy all the time. Ha! That's really ridiculous. Don't expect those guys. When they're miserable, just go, phew.
That's right.
Phew on you. And I just say it with my mouth. I am happy.
Amen.
Even though I feel miserable, I'll say, I am happy.
Hallelujah.
Amen? How many of you, that's a killer. Yeah. That will kill your flesh. You know, it'll go like that. It will. Some little kids sound like that, but I'm telling you, it does not want to be happy in this world. How many know your flesh is never going to want to be happy in this world? Because your flesh does not want to die.
That's right.
Your flesh is not going to go, amen, thank you, Jesus. No, that is not your flesh. That's your spirit, and since you can't feel it, understand it, or want it, skip your feelings, understandings,
right,
and wants. Lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll give your paths straightness, directness. Now, last. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, seeing I don't even know a man? I haven't had, you know, relations with a man yet. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost, God, the Spirit of God, shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. In other words, God the Father shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. So he's not only the son of David, son of man, but he's also son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, blah, 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 for nothing will be impossible. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That is all that God's ever wanted from you, is your faith in that word, not your emotional
right
agreement with it, not your mental assent to it, not your you know, volitional, okay, let's do it right now.
Right.
You don't need any of that. Just let that all do what it wants to do. That's dead. That'll never have life, never. It will never go to heaven. Your will, your mind, your emotions never go to heaven. You have to renew your mind every day. till it becomes the new mind. You have to not your will every day and say, God, I want to do your will every day to get a new will. You have to every day say to your, what's left, the other thing that's left, you know, whatever I didn't say, your mind, your will, your emotions, whatever it is, you got to renew those every day.
That's right.
It's a whole, he's building a whole new persona. He's building a whole new person in you called Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, so don't expect your other you to ever behave itself. When it does, it's just lying. So that won't do it. You are a new creation right now. You are God's new creation. What? Build out of that word. What? Faith. Submission. Love. Those things this world can't produce. This world cannot touch your heart. Only that world. That new world. That's God's world. He wants you all to open this present right now. Open the present up. You don't have to wait till Christmas.
Amen.
You can open it up right now because every day is Christmas for us.
Yes.
Every day is a free gift. Every day. Every day is Easter. Every day is everything. You know, it's all, you know. For Christians, we're not in time and space. Everybody's in time and space. We're not into it. We're already his new creation, and we need to look like it, act like it, talk like it. Let's have a, so it isn't that, you know, it isn't that I'm saying, oh, good, you get to sin now. What I'm saying is sin doesn't lead to happiness. You don't want to.
Right. It's a different.
And you don't have to. I'm not saying you won't. I'm not saying you couldn't. I'm just saying you don't have to because you don't have to be miserable all the time. Sin is not going to lead to happiness. It's powerful. And here's the beauty of this. Once you become happy and once you become strong, you then can be a shepherd for other people because they see it and they want it. And then you can lead them to Christ, not to yourself, but to Christ,
yeah,
so that they can have the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what God wants. It's a contagious thing. It's a virus. No, no, virus, wrong word. It's like that. It's contagious.
It's a heaven wave.
It's a heavenly virus. No, that's probably wrong, too.
Heavenly wave.
It's a heavenly wave, yeah.
We got to start the wave.
Whatever. But it works. I mean, people need to see your joy, your peace, okay? Now, that comes without any try because it's just you're a new tree, so you're going to have new fruit. That's all. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
They aren't going to glorify you. Your true you is not you apart from God. Your true you is Jesus Christ in you, you with God.
Amen.
That's what God's always wanted. He always wanted a love affair. He always wanted an intimate relationship with us. That's why worship is so powerful. And it defeats the enemy. And it defeats your flesh. And it defeats the devil. Worship, God loves, and the devil hates.
Amen.
And so do all wicked people. They don't like it. It's
Amen.
The light. We don't sin because sin is under the law, because we're not under the law. So even though we did sin, it came right out. That was just your flesh. But it's already dead. So you just reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. That reckoning is our power over that enemy.
Amen.
So it's not a big deal. In fact, it's a happy thing when that comes out. Oh, thank you.
Amen. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Because your flesh will come out all with fury. How many know it? Every once in a while it just breaks out with fury. And you say the most God-awful things and you do the most God-awful stupid things and so on. It's okay. That's nothing. It's not you anymore.
Amen.
He died for that 2,000 years ago. Reckon that thing dead.
Amen.
Don't pay for it. Don't run around the block. Don't do your beads. Don't do anything.
That's right.
Done. Finished. Forever. But see, the reason you want to do that is not because there's a law that says you ought to do it so you can go to heaven. The reason you want to do that is for other people because you already have your happiness.
Amen.
So you don't need to do anything more than Jesus did. You can't add to what Jesus did nor subtract from it. If you sin from here to eternity at the last second, you could still turn and receive Jesus. So that's not the issue. The issue is that you don't want to do that because you're not under a law. You don't have to be good. You want to be.
Amen.
That's just who you are because of who he is. That's him. That gives him delight is to be your goodness, to be your joy. He isn't your flesh. That was your old you, but that's gone. Bury that. Do a funeral thing on that. All right. We got to quit. No more good testimonies. All right.